DW.
Mamoun Yacoub vibrates with energy on stage. He's 23 years old and he's performing at one of the first cultural festivals held in the city of Heat since the Islamic State left.
I'm the first music producer in Anbar. Everything is the first. We all come from Hitawi tribes. We reach out to my society, the tribal problems. We try to break stereotypes about the province. We talk about the problems of the day, like underage marriage. We talk about drugs, about the young people who want other things.
Across Anbar province, a quiet revolution is growing. Thousands fled the area when ISIS took over in 2014, escaping to the more liberal havens of Baghdad and Erbil. Living there meant interacting with people who did not follow the same traditions that they grew up with. Mamoun met other rappers, they saw women driving and people going out and drinking openly. When they returned home 2 years later in 2016, they carried those experiences with them, and slowly his city began to become more open.
This is a tricky beat.
Mamoun played at the festival in March, and about 2 months later, we went back to Anbar to meet him and his music partner Ahmed, who are paving the way for rap in Anbar. That's Ahmed. He first started posting rap online in 2012. But back then, he was the only rapper in Anbar, and the response was not positive.
Previously, we couldn't even go out to hear what they think. All communication was on social media. When we published, we didn't get nice comments, so how could we go out? But after the liberation, there was acceptance from people. After the first and second concert, there was acceptance. It's not as in Baghdad or Erbil. Here in Anbar, there are traditions, but it has become better.
Ahmed was the first rapper in Anbar. He started in 2012. After that, I started in 2013. Honestly, I didn't know him, but then I heard there was this Hit guy doing rap, and I was like, there's someone in Hit like me? Wow. So I got to know him in 2012.
After Ahmed and Mamoun met, they found other like-minded young people who wanted to break dance, rap, and beatbox. Today, that team has expanded to 42 people across Anbar, and Ahmed and Mamoun regularly perform at local festivals. Back in 2013, that would have been unimaginable.
The situation was different before. The extremism was stronger in Anbar province. The tribes were a bit stuck in their ways. After the liberation, people had gone to Erbil and saw the cultures. They were able to touch the world. They changed their views. Their thoughts developed a bit, so when they came back, the situation was more normal for them. They were able to meet the subject with a normal spirit. If we're talking about before 2013, for us, it's been a radical change. Before 2013, we were not able to do anything outside. If you wanted to exchange thoughts or words, there was only social media. There was no live reality.
Ahmed and Mamoun work with a female rapper known as Eugene, who lives an hour and a half away in Fallujah. But unlike Ahmed and Mamoun, she can't perform in public.
There is a girl with us. She does not show her face, just lets out sound. She cannot show her face.
Eugene secretly records in her bedroom, rapping in Arabic and in her favourite languages, English and Korean. But no one can know her identity. She hides rap from her family. She and Ahmed recently released a song together. Unlike the music videos released by Ahmed and Mamoon, where they rap openly in front of a camera with their faces showing, this video shows just scenes from a cartoon. But while Eugene cannot fully express herself, she and other women in Fallujah are starting to challenge social norms. I learned how to drive. That was something inside of me that I wanted. Yes, I was born here in Fallujah. My ancestors are from here. We've lived here for around 200 to 300 years. Did you have someone teach you to drive? That was hard. Learning was hard. The conditions I feel when you leave the house, you face so much criticism. Why? Why do you go out? It's shameful. It's hard. But now we'll see my students. They're all at different levels and they have better thoughts about these kinds of things. Sarah is the first driving instructor in Fallujah. She learned how to drive 15 years ago, the only woman she knows of who could at the time. A few months ago, she started working at Fallujah's first driving instruction center for women. And since then, Sarah has been inundated with requests. The number of women asking for driving classes?
In the hundreds from Facebook. They all want to learn how to drive. As a society or as a city, everyone wants to learn. People come up to me hoping they can learn how to drive a car and go out without needing the permission of her husband, brother or son.
Before ISIS occupied Fallujah in 2014, a woman driving by herself was unthinkable. But the same thing happened in Fallujah as happened in Heat. People fled to more liberal cities in Iraq. Now they've come back, the culture has begun to change. The first students Sarah picks up in the old taxi provided by the driving centre are mother and daughter called Ban and Warak.
We've become friends and true sisters.
Ban dreamed about driving for a long time.
I like driving. Since I was young, I've been dreaming about driving a car. I realized this dream, inshallah. I got married, had children. Now they've grown up, and I can realize this dream.
The society didn't allow this. Now slowly we're developing and we have the chance to learn how to drive. People developed when they left because of the events. We saw societies outside, and this is the reason we developed. We saw Erbil, Baghdad, and outside of Iraq. We saw development and how women need this.
Sarah's delighted to see women seek out her lessons. She believes knowing how to drive a car means more than just transportation.
Learning to drive doesn't just give a woman the wheel. It gives her personal power, and it gives her the ability to not just build her house, but to build an entire society.
Driving to the lot where she will hold the training, Sarah points out people side-eyeing her as she drives down the street.
Do you see the looks of the people opposing us? Do you see them? They give us strange looks, harassing or shocked looks, like they will try to oppose us. We're being normal. We came to learn. We can face any person that comes towards us and throws words at us.
After picking up all the students, Sarah drives into a wide lot in the middle of Fallujah, 10 minutes away.
Here is the training square, so we will begin with Sit Barak. I will stop the car. Put your feet on the gas, easier, then to the left. Do you remember the lesson or have you forgotten? With the sun, it's like driving as if we were on a battlefield.
For Warak, seeing her daughter learn to drive is watching a dream come true.
I encouraged her to start the course and learn how to drive because at her age, I dreamt about driving. So I and her father encouraged her. It's a nice feeling. What I couldn't realize when I was young, she will. My daughter is realizing this dream that I had.
We think that, inshallah, we buy a car together. Everything beautiful I learned from my mother. She's standing by anyone who needs it until they achieve what they want.
But while the doors are opening for Sarah, Warak and Ban, there are some clear limits to how far society has opened. About an hour away in Ramadi, those boundaries became evident.
Now we're in Tamim neighbourhood, the Bars neighbourhood. This is the first bar in Ramadi since the liberation from Daesh.
The only bar in Ramadi is really just a shop that sells alcohol. It's around 12 kilometres outside of the city. And Mahmoud, who doesn't want to use his real name for safety reasons, is a local to Ramadi. He says in the past, it didn't used to be like this.
In the time of Saddam, there was a social club, not just a bar, but a club.
Before the American invasion of Iraq in 2003, Ramadi was less conservative than it is now. After the invasion, the city became isolated and insurgent groups started to assert influence. Mahmoud says that by 2006, Al-Qaeda and later in 2014, ISIS would destroy any place attempting to sell alcohol.
They blew them up. Daesh would destroy all the bars. In 2003, after the American forces entered, leadership belonged to armed groups that were outside the law. They blew up all those places and they would kill any person working in them. They kill people indiscriminately, without a previous warning, without trial.
Now Ramadi is in a transitional period. The new bar divided the local government. Women are not allowed to go near it, and it's dangerous for well-known people like Mahmoud.
This is the bar. The pink building, that's the bar.
The area outside the bar is crowded, and there are many young people going in and out. Mahmoud gets nervous, and we promise not to leave the car until we have permission from the bar manager. He eyes the young people passing by the car window.
Ramadi is different than Iraq. Here, the guys who come to this neighbourhood indulge in different dangers. They've tendencies to try sex, not killing. These are the types of dangers they do. It's a bit... the environment's not good here. There isn't a car with police here. If the police were here, we could have gone with them and spoken with them. But there are no police. Baghdad doesn't have things like this. Even I could be kidnapped. It's not much distance. Right after that building, the desert starts. They could put me in a car and take me.
The bar manager refuses to talk to us that night. Mahmoud is relieved.
The bar, the place that has Shabab, that's crowded with young men, the people who work with Daesh monitor that place. They see who goes to it. It gives them a chance to use this information to kill them.
So they threaten the people who go to the bar?
Exactly. They threaten people. Cameras record. They have these secret cameras and then they come. Daesh has sleeper cells that exist in Anbar and in all of Iraq. So these places where they still exist, their people will then threaten a person, and after a period they kidnap him, they demand a ransom with a large ransom amount, and in the end they kill him. They take him to the desert and kill him.
We drive away from the bar, a place that could never have existed 2 years ago and where danger still lingers. But for the first time in years, there is a bar in Ramadi. One more sign of Anbar's delicate renaissance and a slow but steady change that does not look like it will go away anytime soon.
DW.